Hi guys, welcome to another show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you on board. We talked to lawyer Rob Philander today on the very important topic of asset protection for investors. Now, if a burglar broke into your house in the middle of the night, tripped and hurt themselves, would you really expect to be sued for damages? Well, believe it or not, in this country, it happens. Stay tuned for Rob later in the show. Louise gives us the wrap on excuses and dodging success in one of my favourite mind powers. But first up, we have a special news around the world with high net worth fund manager David Chia for the week ending 1st of August. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing really well. Now, given that the markets in the US fell by a total of 317 points, wiping out all the gains it's made this entire year, how do you feel about that?
That's a good question. How do I feel about it? Well, it's a funny thing. I don't actually feel anything, but I'm sure a lot of people are feeling decidedly anxious this morning as they wake up to have their cup of coffee and their breakfast and have a look at their market. And you're correct, the Dow did effectively fall enough to take the index back to what it was at the start of this year, which is a bit disheartening if you've been, climbing this journey of 7 months in the market, and in one fell swoop, you are back to the start of the year. It can be a bit disheartening.
Does it mean anything? What does it mean for their markets and for our markets?
That's a very, very good question. I guess really before I can say anything meaningful to your listeners, one of the things that's worthwhile looking at, Caroline, is how you are effectively positioned and what your views are on the market is. The first thing I want to say is if listeners are anxious about the market, as in anxious following yesterday's outcome, perhaps one of the things to ask is whether they are positioned too large. Are they taking too much risk that they should, on a one-day move, be concerned? The other thing to look at is if there is any particular position in your portfolio that is bothering you as a result of that, I suspect that you need to go back and really look at whether your position size is correct, whether you are playing it too large.
Okay, so what do you think the flow-on effect around the world will be?
I think in the short term today, you're just going to see a ripple effect all around. Markets are simply just going to respond in a like manner right across the world, irrespective of whether you're a blue chip, green chip or a red chip. It's not going to matter today. The question you need to ask really is, are you only playing for today? Are you playing for the week or are you playing for the year? Because really, when I bring up a price chart for financial markets, and we'll just say we look at something like the Dow Jones, how does yesterday's move translate? And all you people can see this. I go back to what I call a fairly significant low in the US around 2011. And I look at 2012 as a calendar year, 2013 as a calendar year, 2014 as a calendar year to date. In 2012, the market had two sizable adjustments to the south as it continued upwards. So the market moved back twice, enough for you to take notice. In 2013, it did that three times in a fairly significant manner. Again, you would take notice because it was large enough and over a duration long enough, it measured in weeks. In 2014 to date, we had something at the beginning of the year, late January, we had something, and it looks like this could be the second adjustment we are seeing in 2014. So if you compress your time frames over a matter of looking at it daily and weekly, yeah, this is an event that would bother you a great deal. If you can you expand your time frame into looking at the last 2-3 years, you might go, well, that's very interesting. It's come back for a few weeks, 2 or 3 times a year, but it is so much higher compared to what it was. So at the low in 2011, it was just above 10,000 on the Dow Jones. It's now sitting just under 17,000. And it has done 5 adjustments over the 3 years to date. So I just go, important to get your perspective right. So if you're extremely worried about it, then I say to you, your position is too large and you're not managing your portfolio.
Okay, let's move on and talk about the central bank. Interest rates are very low. People are worried they're going to kick in reverse. What are your thoughts on that?
Caroline, the reversal that you refer to that central banks may undertake is, I believe, a given. It has to happen. The fact that they have actually kept interest rate that low for so long with their monetary policy leads to what I call imbalances in the system. Imbalances as in there is too much capital being diverted to seek alternative outside of interest rates, because interest rates are so low. If you're a pensioner as such, you just don't have enough money to live on if you leave your money in the bank. So you're forced to put your money into other areas, and other areas are what I call the risk areas, like equities and properties as such. So because of this disruption to the natural flow of things, investors have been forced to shift capital into equity assets, and it has caused this very huge bull market in equities. And I think no matter which way you cut it, or no matter which way you value it, equities are expensive on a historical basis. But when you weigh up the fact that there are no other options to earn money, a disproportionate amount of money is staying in the equity markets and keeping it up. The question I guess everyone always asks is, at what stage will this actually go into reverse? Well, you don't need to know the answer on that for listeners that are actually tracking this on a momentum basis and looking at their charts. You will see it. You will see it through the number of measures that you are already using. And as I'm talking to you, I have a weekly 5-year chart up for the Dow Jones and the S&P 500. I'm certainly not seeing anything that would bother me a great deal. You may not like it if you were long and the market is down so much, but in the big picture, in the scheme of what I talked about, those two or three adjustments that occur every year, I'm not seeing anything that's saying to me, "Whoa, get out of harm's way." It may come, but it's certainly not here yet.
David, I know you've been flying around a lot lately, but fortunately you haven't been flying over Russia or the Ukraine. So you're intact and you haven't been blown up. Let's talk about events over there. How's it going to affect the energy cycles?
One of the things I guess, Caroline, with the sanctions that the world is putting on Russia and stepping up effectively on Russia, I think in the short term, the impact on Russia will be minimal. Really, I think it's minimal. The amount of deals that they may be able to do may be curtailed to a certain extent, and that may hurt them in the short term. So if you are effectively invested in emerging markets up that part of the world, especially in Eastern Europe, you haven't done too well. What is interesting, though, the point you brought up is the energy issue. The card that Russia can always play is that it is such a large energy supplier in that part of the world, and especially to the Ukraine, of which it subsidized its gas price. And with the northern winters kicking in, silly, Russia could easily play its hand and say, "Well, I turned the gas off, you're all going to freeze." What that will do to energy prices, it could be a very disruptive influence on energy prices. So for those people trading that side of the market in the futures, I guess it probably pays to keep a very close watch on energy prices as such. Am I seeing anything in the short term unusual? No, I'm not. I look at the price of crude over the last 3-4 years. It is not doing anything unusual. It has been trading between this rising low and a falling high wedge, sandwiched somewhere between $90 and $108.
Even with the events in Iraq?
Even with the events there, yeah, even with the events there. There are always pull and push factors, something that's pushing it up and something that's pushing it down. There's nothing definite. And Ukraine, the political situation and tension there currently is not giving me enough data to say, yes, it's going to go one way or the other. But it is right that people are concerned and that they do need to keep an eye on it. So I don't want to sound like I'm hedging my bets, but really the data isn't conclusive enough at this point in time to say, hey, this is a major turning point that we've got to watch for. However, I will add one thing that I believe is important right now is traditionally, around late July, August, the U.S. companies are all reporting their second half, what I call their half-year results for all the corporates. And one of the things that I guess was a stumbling block last night in equity markets was Exxon, the very large oil company, reporting and missing the mark, and it absolutely hurt the U.S. markets very much. But in Australia, we're about to go into our own reporting season for the full financial year. So for the year ended June, companies are about to start phasing up now. Did they do well? Did they not? And what's the outlook for the year? And traditionally, Caroline, this is the time of the year when you can see a little bit more volatility, and people need to, I guess, going into this July-August period, perhaps, if I may use the phrase, tighten up their stops a little bit if they are concerned about individual positions. But having said that, I think it's very important that you do not be defined by any single trade or defined by any single stock, because if you are, you're really trading too large.
So we've talked about a few hotspots around the world. Just very generally, how are the markets looking?
Big picture markets look fine to me. They really do. Even with yesterday's adjustment, I call it, in equity markets, they look fine. And an interesting aspect about markets is that there seemed to be a fair bit of money going into China in the last 2 weeks as well, which is lifting the Shanghai index to a level. So it's interesting whether effectively this is a turnaround. I think it's too early to call China as a turnaround story, but the equity markets, at least in the last 2 weeks, have been nothing short of outstanding in China. But again, too early to call green light for me. So,
David Tia, thanks so much for your time today.
Not at all. It's a pleasure always talking to you.
Hello, my name is Dr. Tim Pitchell. I'm the author of Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, and I listen to Talking Trading.
And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
We give ourselves so many excuses. We allow ourselves to dodge success because of our own personal flaws, which we disguise as strengths. I hear, well, Louise, unless I can give trading 100% effort, then I'm not going to do it. Or, I'm not going to do that course to learn more about my chosen profession because half of it is going to cover the things I already know about the markets. Oh, far out, what about the other half? If you take only one thing away from the course that you're thinking about doing, or this podcast for that matter, don't you think it was worth it? You underestimate the power of compounding. What if you learned one thing a day and you really implemented what you've learned instead of thinking that you're too cool for school? The compounding effect would be huge. In 1 week, you will have zoomed ahead of the majority of brain-dead zombies out there who are too distracted, insipid, terrified or deluded to be humble enough to accept guidance. Be innocent. Be trusting. Admit when you don't know something. That's what it takes to become a superb trader. At some point, we have to be mature and honest with ourselves. We are exactly where we are because we put ourselves there. Are you ready to admit that to yourself now? We have to be prepared to be honest with ourselves. The reason I'm not where I want to be is because I haven't dared to step forth. I haven't combated my fear, and I believed my own excuses. Unless we can say this sort of thing to ourselves, we'll never get ahead. The fear is not going to go away, but what you do with that fear can change over time. If you're not terrified, you're probably not growing. You can't tell me that the great explorers of the world didn't feel fear. The great leaders, great traders, the world changers, they realized that fear was there, but they pushed forward anyway. Somewhere they put their foot down and said, "This is important to achieve, come hell or high water, I'm going to freaking do it." And for you, what excuse are you feeding yourself? Today, tell yourself that you're okay with the fear. Begin. Start. Stop accepting your own excuses. Stop fooling yourself that it has to be perfect. Don't pretend that you have to devote 100% of your time to that project to achieve it. Start. Then, as you move forward, you will perfect.
On the back of Dawn Bolton-Smith's interview, our last trading trivia question was, who was the first female stockbroker in the USA? And the answer is Victoria Woodhull. Victoria set up the first woman-owned stock brokerage firm in New York with her sister, Tennessee. The couple were able to maintain their firm through the help of Commodore Vanderbilt, one of the richest people in American history, who reportedly at one stage planned to marry Tennessee. Victoria became a proponent of women's rights, and she also ran for president. And this week's trading trivia question is, what is the name of the original American Stock Exchange and why? Find out the answer next episode. So a drunkard walks home one night from the pub. They fall into your brand new spa and they hurt themselves. And believe it or not, they sue you for damages. Or one weekend, you hold a garage sale and someone slips down your driveway, breaks their ankle and sues you for inappropriate access. Believe it or not? Well, lawyer Rob Belander sees cases like this every single day. With his quirky sense of humour, he tells us why it's imperative that all investors have asset protection. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Hi, Caroline.
So lawyers openly advertise no win, no fee arrangements. What does that mean for investing Australians? Are we really at risk being sued, or are we worrying too much about it?
Oh, Caroline, I don't think we're worrying too much. This is for any Australians who have any assets at all, they should think about this issue and take steps to asset protect themselves, as they say. The chance for someone having a go at you is real. You know, once you've got assets, you're a target. There are people out there that just have a go. And sometimes they might not have much of a case, and you might just be paying them go away money. But that in itself is enough reason to look at properly asset protecting yourself. And now with this new regime, which has been around for a decade or two, the no win, no fee basis, it's now ethical and legal for lawyers and has been for some time to take on cases where they promise to you, the person they represent, that if they don't win, they won't be charging you a fee. That's brought out a whole breed of aggressive lawyers that are driven firstly to protect their fees and secondly, I find, to look after your interests. They're going to be very aggressive. So, you know, you need to be aware of that. Plus, remember always that these assets that you're creating, Caroline, you know, at the end of the day, you really are the custodian of them for the next generation. So what's the point of all this effort and time into creating assets and wealth for yourself, but more particularly for the next generation? You need to asset protect yourself.
Most people think that this will never happen to me. How common is it that people will have a go?
Well, that's the ostrich. Is it the ostrich or the emu principle? What's that big bird that puts their head in the ground?
The ostrich, I think.
The ostrich, yeah, that's the ostrich principle. I've got my head stuck in the sand. I can't see you. That means you can't see me, Caroline. Well,
have you got any examples for us, some real-life examples that have come across your desk?
Yes, I can share some real-life examples. And people say to me, oh, what's the real risk of this, Rob? Is it? It's only 1 in 100. Yeah, that's about it, I suppose. But in my office, there's a dozen lawyers, and we've got piles of files of these 1 in 100 cases. They're real, and they're big files. And if you're that 1 in 100 person, and as you get a portfolio of shares, as you get a portfolio of property, as you start to create wealth, the risk of this happening to you just increases and increases. And you can say, well, I've got a stockbroker looking after it, or I've got a professional rental manager looking after it, but these things do happen. Give you a couple of examples. You've just got the fence in your backyard down because on the weekend you're dropping a spar into the backyard, and so that's taken a couple of days. So the fence is down for a couple of days, and around the corner is a couple of restaurants or a hotel, a pub, or a drunk walking home from the pub takes a shortcut through your backyard. It's dark that night, trips and falls. There's no fence to stop them. Trips and falls and falls into the spar. They break their leg, or worse still, end up in a wheelchair. They sue you, or another one, a burglar. This is a real case. This went to trial. A burglar broke into a person's house, and that weekend the owner was fixing the balustrading in the mezzanine level in this house, and the burglar broke in through the top floor and slipped and fell because the balcony wasn't there, really. The railing wasn't there, slipped and fell and seriously injured themselves. Now, they're the bad guy. They've broken into your domain, they've injured themselves, and then all of a sudden they sue you because, you know, it wasn't safe to be up there. It doesn't matter that... This is real. Another example, a couple of cases in the office here. Somebody had a garage sale at their home, and to get to the garage was a driveway, slight incline on the driveway. It was raining a little bit. Somebody pulled up to go to the garage sale, slipped and fell on the walkway, and broke their leg, and then sued the owner for, you know, having a garage, advertising garage sale when it wasn't safe to walk up the driveway. I mean, life isn't a bowling green, is it? But nonetheless, these people out there, they're out there having a go. They're real life examples. Unfortunately, to have a go at councils and governments these days, because you tripped and fell on a road where it was a slippery or uneven surface, those days have gone. That quote about life not being a bowling green, that was a quote by a famous judge in a landmark case that changed the landscape. it's no longer as easy anymore to have a go, you know, in those sort of circumstances. But as a homeowner, as a property investor, it's still there, still very real.
So it's money that's really worth being spent on lawyers' fees to protect yourself.
Yes, you must asset protect yourself. Once again, what's the point of doing all this if you just expose yourself to some greedy litigant wanting to have a go, or some no-win, no-fee lawyer having a go?
At the end of the day, haven't we all got insurance anyway? So why are we worrying?
Very good point, and that's what you might think when you first give consideration to this whole big issue of asset protection. But insurance companies, if you think of it this way, insurance companies, they spread the risk. Say, they spread the risk of these policies. So for every, say, let's just say, for every 100 policies they take, every 100 premiums they take out, there'll be one claim. So they have to look carefully at the terms of their insurance policy. Like AMP, for example, if you're a shareholder of AMP, Caroline, you'd expect AMP, wouldn't you, to scrutinise every claim, insurance claim under one of their policies. You wouldn't want them as a shareholder to pay out on it. So it takes roughly 100, let's say 100 premiums on 100 policies to pay for one claim. So they do look at every claim very carefully. So they do look for loopholes, they look for fine wording, and they'll look to wriggle out. So, you know, insurance is very important and very good, but you, at the end of the day, you just can't have that as your sole protection. You must asset protect yourself as well.
Okay, so what can we do to asset protect ourselves?
Well, the strategies that my clients use are all very simple. There's no strategies where you have to go offshore or set up fictitious accounts or use second names. These are all strategies of the clients have used for decades, none of them got any trouble doing it. They essentially involve taking as many of your assets as you possibly can and putting them into a company trust structure. You would basically acquire all your assets, your shares and your property, in the name of a company acting as trustee for, most of the time, is a family discretionary trust. So family discretionary trust that you would control, not own. The shares and the property are owned by the family discretionary trust, not you. Mm. So in a nutshell, then it looks, you know, that control, it still looks like ownership, it still feels like ownership, it still smells like ownership, but it doesn't have that sting in the tail of personal liability. And what you essentially do is quarantine all your assets into these company trust structures so you have as little as possible in your own name personally. So anyone looking to have a go at you will find that you're a man, you're a woman of straw, and they won't pursue you.
Rob Belander, you're the kind of guy that everyone wants on their soccer team. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Louise Bedford and Rob Belander. Stay tuned next week for Rick Schnabel's interview on why he thinks everyone should experience true wealth and how to become a money magnet. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.